Blog Talk Radio.
Listener, you probably figure we're a little late today, and we are. We had a little visitor inside here, a couple short visitors that were making a rather tremendous amount of noise. So we decided to wait a few minutes here and come in at the end here of the show and just do a little kind of a recapitulation here of where we were yesterday. John, in 1 John, is telling us how it is, and really how it should be in our daily life as a Christian, and for us to remember where we came from. I saw a picture of Russ Wilson today, and he's getting ready to go over to spring training and do some baseball because he's actually still in contract with those guys too in the off season. And he said, "Doesn't change who I am. We lost a game. We played well. It was a wonderful game, but we lost, and that's it." And I think that there needs to be a little bit more information put out there for the fans that, hey, you know what? If you lose a game, it's not the end of the world. It's bad. You won, you lose. You won, you lose. It's all done. You lost, okay. But it's in a spectator sport, which football is two things. It's a bunch of guys that like to play football, and it's also a spectator sport, and it's demanding more and more and more for entertainment purposes for the spectators, not really the players. So we need to back up, regroup, and really think what matters. Football's great. It's wonderful. It's made a lot of people. And in perspective of how many people are on the planet, not very many people, a few people, but very wealthy. And if they're wise, they can go on and do something else in their life and never work a day in their life. They could have a job that they love that may not pay many dividends, but if they invest their money well, they can, as I heard recently, find something you love to do, you'll never work a day in your life. Here's something we need to find. This is something we need to find, the truth. And the truth is God's Word speaks to us very plainly about, honestly, who has hope, where that hope is, and who it's found in, what it says in chapter 3 of 1 John. "See how great a love the Father has bestowed upon us, that we should be called children of God. And such we are. For this reason, the world does not know us, because it does not know him. Beloved, now we are children of God, and it has not appeared as yet that what we shall be. We know that when he appears, we shall be like him, because we shall see him just as he is. And everyone who has this hope fixed on him purifies himself just as he is pure." Understand something. There's Super Bowl mania, billions of dollars spent and made. There's Seahawk mania, many fans in the last two or three years. One of my buddies, old time friends, has been a Seahawks fan from the beginning, and he's always loved the Hawks, win or lose. They've really given a good run these last few years, but let's remember something that we need to know, that we are extremely blessed to be called children of God. And the Seahawks lost a game. The fans did not. When the Seahawks win a game, the fans did not win the game. They got to watch their team that they support and like and love win. So let's not make ourselves all a bunch of Seahawks players, because very few people make it to that level, that caliber of play. But there is one thing that every single one of us can be, but we are not until we become that. And it just says here, one more time, what a absolute unbelievable amount of love that God has bestowed on us. We can be called children of God, and such we are. For this reason, the world does not know him. Why? Because it does not know him. And Graham Lotz writes this today. I cannot believe it. Right? That's the scripture we want to cover today. That's the area we wanted to cover. This is the third. I didn't say that. Welcome. It's the 3rd of February, 2015. And I want to end with this little note. And Graham Lotz just sends these cool little things in the morning. Now listen to how this fits. This just came today in correlation with the scripture we just read. Whoever confesses that Jesus is the Son of God, God abides in him and he in God. 1 John 4:15. I'm going to say it more. God loves each and every person who has ever been born in the human race. Now listen to this carefully. God loves the Eskimo living in an ice hut. God loves the Chinese living in a bamboo lodge. God loves the African living in a mud hut. God loves the homeless living in a cardboard box. God loves the Bedouin living in a tent. God loves the Indian living in a teepee. God loves the royals living in a palace. And God loves the dweller living in a housing project. God loves the whole world. God loves you. And God loves even me. Yet nowhere in the Bible does it say that everyone on planet Earth is a child of God. But the Bible does say that God loves everyone on the planet Earth. And we can call God our Father when we come to Him in a personal relationship through faith in His Son, Jesus Christ. You see, only those who are born again are children of God. God loved the world. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. You have got to come to him. He came for you. You've got to come to him. If there's any kind of thing you have to do, this is it. You have to come to him. Confess your sin. Receive his forgiveness. He loves everyone. He loves everyone out there. I watched a very troubling video this morning, and I wished I hadn't watched it. But I thought it was just an excerpt, really, and it wasn't. And the world right now, folks, is, I don't need to tell you, but I'm just going to say it to set the stage for this, is in the worst condition we have ever been in. And mainly because things that have been being done for years and years and years and years and decades and eons are now being broadcast, are now being seen by people who may never see those kind of things. It started not too many years ago when they started literally broadcasting the efforts of wars so people could sit at home in their living room and watch the current popular war. Watch people go on missions. Watch people shoot weapons. They're fairly consistent, and they make sure they don't show horrendous things. But now all these horrendous things, beheading people, entire villages slaughtering people, lighting a man on fire and burning him to death. These things are happening all the time now, and they're out there for everyone to see. My granddaughter asked me this morning, Grandpa, what was it like back in 1998? And I just for the first, just like that, I went, well, that was a couple years ago. I don't know if that was the same as it is now. You know, I mean, I didn't say that, but I go, well, you know, I'm thinking, same as it is today, honey. Then I did the math and said, that was 17 years ago. That was 17 years ago. And I said, well, it was a lot different than it is now, honey. You know, we didn't have tablets. Everybody didn't have smartphones. The internet was not happening and hopping and popping like it is today. People were still running VHS tapes, playing some cassette tapes. Yeah, there were DVDs and CDs, but, you know, I had a really hard time. And she looked at me and she goes, oh, it must have been so boring. You know, as she's hooking up to the internet on her Kindle, you know, I look at this and I go, we're moving into a very weird time when instant gratification, instant information, instant knowledge. People are geniuses now as long as they have their tablet, their laptop, or their smartphone with them. You realize that? I mean, anytime you have a question about something, pop on the internet. I've done it. I think all of us have done it. Well, not all of us. People have done it. So all of a sudden, at your fingertips. But here's what you have. You have what other people are saying, what other people are recording. And if you just grab one, especially a Wikipedia thing, I mean, you're just taking what one person or a number of people have written and combined their ignorance in many areas. This is true, that's true. I get emails all the time. Well, check this out. And then you do some research, the best research you can. You go to various sources and find out, well, that isn't quite the way it is. But people just read the first thing and go with it. I'll tell you what you can read, and I'll tell you what you can go with. You can read the Word of God. You can understand what the characters or the characteristics of a true believer and what true fellowship are. And you can read about them in the Word of God. You could have picked this same book up over 300 years ago, and it would have said the same thing. You see, originally, in the English language, the Bible was printed in 1611. So if I got right down to it, it's 400 years ago. I mean, close, you know. Well, I guess not. Let's see, yeah, 400 years ago. In fact, 404 years ago. I mean, it hasn't changed. If you pick up a King James Bible, it hasn't changed. So it's not something that's going to change. It's not something that gets to go in and add a little information to it or change a little information. You know, we need to read the Word of God. We can't just listen to what other people are telling us it says. And many people are very honest and pure in what they tell you that it says, but it's nothing like reading it yourself. So we can get past God loves everybody. Well, he does love everybody, but not everybody is a child of God. You know, my blood brother, I got one, my brother Dave. And, you know, I got a guy that tells me, he's my neighbor, he says, my name's David. And I call him Dave, because my brother's named Dave. My brother's named David. I've called him Dave my whole life, you know. And I'm not trying to be rude, but Dave, David, I don't get mad if people call me Mike or Mickey or whatever they want to call me. Bottom line is, it doesn't change. People change, attitudes change, thoughts change. No one goes in here and just writes. Now, it's happened. A lot of different translations have been twisted and warped and all that. But if you just get back to something that's basic, you can go, wow, I can read that. And if somebody was sitting here in this area on a horse 150 years ago, 120 years ago, and they were reading the Bible, they would have read the same thing. That's amazing. Understand this, was written thousands of years ago. It hasn't changed. And it will never change. There's not one letter of God's word that's going to pass away. God's word doesn't return void. He sends it out for a purpose. And the purpose today is for you to remember this. If you have your hope fixed on him, you will be in the process of being purified, just as he is pure. You are in this sanctification process, and he's coming back one day, real soon. He's coming back for a spotless bride. So we're not going to get spotless before he gets here. We're going to have all kinds of flaws. But when he comes, he'll purify us. And any flaws that are still left, any scars or marks are ones that he is going to pronounce as pure. So understand that God is coming back. And I think he's coming back pretty soon. So you better get ready. We'll see you guys tomorrow, the 4th of February.